Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hello, guys. It's MMA fighter Chael Sonnen. Check out my podcast, You're Welcome, with Chael Sonnen every Wednesday and Friday right here at Podcast One. We cover the latest in mixed martial arts and everything else going on in the world of sport. Listen free to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts, at PodcastOne.com, and on the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. The show's been getting on. Mandate, get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right? Matt, the moderator.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing well. We've been running around a lot. Working on this billboard that's going up in Times Square.
Yeah, saw that. It's going to be good.
Working on the Shelby dock. Nate just got back from like the Shelby convention in Vegas. They're a pretty motivated group of campers over there, pretty hardcore following, the Shelby following, Shelby group. So we're working headlong into this Shelby dock. We're also working on just getting chassis going and all the selections for the gearheads and in your life. That's C-H-A-S-S-Y. And there's a lot of good stuff we're procuring and it's popping up. Up there and trying to get these, you know, just trying to figure out a way to like we realize like the 24-hour war is great and everyone loves it. And it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes and so on and so forth. But it's sort of marketed toward folks, Le Mans guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nate came back from the Shelby convention and said, like, we need just to make a 24-hour war poster with Carroll Shelby on it and then sell it to the Shelby guys. Because the Shelby guys would love the 24-hour war.
There's a good 7 minutes, 10 minutes or something. The significant portion of that story revolves around Shelby.
It's not 7 minutes. It's like the story is kind of Shelby. I mean, it starts off with Ford and Ferrari and blah, blah, blah. But at a certain point, the hero is Shelby, who comes into the picture and comes in about halfway in or whenever it is and says, like, hey, we got to win this.
Right.
We got to win these races. And they hire the winner. And it's like, I'm not arguing with you, but I'm saying like I'm not looking at it as sort of a bait and switch. It is a Shelby, essentially Shelby. It's not a Shelby doc, but he is the hero who comes riding in on the white horse and fixes everything for Ford and gets those wins at Le Mans. So if you're a Shelby dude, you should definitely be on top of this movie.
It's it is fantastic. And like you were saying on the on chassis, I want to remind everybody that not just the documentaries that get produced here, but Nate's been going out and acquiring other films and things to put on chassis.com. So it's a whole library of great automotive content. You know, the Bug movie's up there. I think the Indian movie now is up there. Is that the one that Leno narrated?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really cool films up there. And then the Willie T. Ribbs film is going to come out pretty soon, a couple months.
Like, yeah.
I would say if I had to guess, Nate would probably say he wants to plan something like around the Indy 500 time. So that'd be, what, May-ish?
Yeah.
Probably something like that. I couldn't say for sure. I don't want to speak on behalf of Nate and his plan for release dates, but if I had to guess, I would say something around there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right? I don't know. Do you guys have a date yet?
We're working on whether we should. We're going to forego the festival route because it's been foregone for us. Like all the major festivals we've put into have rejected the film. So I'm not sure if it's because it's a car film. I'm not sure it's because it's me, or maybe it's a combination of everything, but no festival will screen it, which is unfortunate because it's a very good piece. But I think that just means that we finish it and we sell it to somebody, you know, Amazon or History Channel or Netflix or whatever, yeah. And we get on with our lives. But yeah, I'm not sure when our screening will be and when the dates will be, but the film is done. We have to get a few, some footage from Indy that they actually have. We have like the low res version of what we need. We have to get that stuff from Indy. We have to swap it out with the low res stuff for the high res stuff.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And, then we have to send it out to be color matched and mixed and, you know, sound and all that stuff, all that balance, all the just all the boring post stuff.
Yeah.
And, then once we do that, we will, it will be ready to ship. But I don't know where yet.
Yeah,
but we'll keep you posted.
But it's yeah, I know they're working on it all the time, and it's you know, it's going to be fantastic. It's a great story.
Yeah, it is,
and a great story about a guy that's had a real difficult time being the only black guy racing. Then you know, so there's.
It'll be a very good watch, and it's a feature. Like it should be a movie. Should be a feature movie because it's that interesting. But all right, so we'll keep you posted with that. What's the Ferrari odometer story?
So someone is suing Ferrari saying they have artificially created value for some used Ferraris because the dealers, the technicians there, have a tool that allows them to roll back the odometer. And
wow.
It's
Cher song.
It's the
if I could turn back odometer. She's on the battleship. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not the whole, you know, driving the car backwards around, you know, Beverly Hills or anything. It's all the odometers now, imagine they're all digital, right? So there's
sure.
no like an actual
right.
like spinning around odometer. But and there were some rules applied to it. Like if the car had less than 300 miles and the car came in for service,
you could never
drove it
by
around.
The way, I don't think I've not seen a lot of odometer cables and things, but it would never work in reverse.
No,
it would just mean that when you backed out of a parking lot, the odometer would start going the other way, right?
Right.
That
couldn't be.
If
it happened.
I've never seen that.
No.
It's never happened. So the only way to do it is back in the day, the guy would just get the cordless drill and unplug the cord and put the drill on reverse, right? And like turn it the other. But yeah.
I've never done that.
You've never done
that. I've never done that.
Right.
So anyway, this guy's suing. He's saying, you know, some dealers or service technicians could do it. And Ferraris are so largely based on mileage when it comes to their value that, you know, rolling back some miles could create thousands of dollars of misled value onto a car that's not there. But here's the kicker is anytime one of the technicians plugs up that device and wants to change the odometer, that device needs to get approval from Ferrari corporate. The device connects over the internet, needs to get it. So in theory, Ferrari in Italy should have record of every single one that they've done this to. They've since disabled that feature in the device, but that's where this sort of came from.
Why have they since disabled it?
Well, they said people were arguing like there's no point in having it. Like, why would you ever roll back the odometer? And Ferrari, I don't know, had a couple of excuses here and there. I can't remember exactly.
Oh, not the feature were connected to the home base.
No, you can't change. The service technicians can't change the mileage anymore.
No messing with the odometer.
Yeah, they can't mess with the odometer anymore. But and again, I think we're talking about.
So you say feature, but you just mean no messing with the odometer.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that That ability is no longer in the device, or it's been disabled.
Well, okay, so first things first.
It has to be on fairly modern cars, right? Like, it has to be on, like, 360s or 430s or something.
Yeah, I don't know when they got away from the cable, but I would guess right in there. Ferraris are pretty pretty well regulated, or at least very interested in what service you do at what miles.
Yeah.
So it would be weird if the thing had 78,000 miles on it and at 80,000 miles required a big service with all the belts and all the gaskets or whatever it is, and you turned it back to 40. That would then be weird.
Yeah, and I don't even think you can do that. There were some. It starts to get funky, because then you start to be like, I don't know what side of the story on. The headlines are, this device can roll back miles, but then you start looking at the fine print, and I think it had to be something like less than 300 miles on the car to begin with, and then it can roll back to zero.
Oh,
so like
less than 300 to begin
with.
So
if there was, like, I don't know, test drive miles
Why don't you lead with that part?
Well, I was getting to the 300 mile part.
We'll start with it. Mostly when you roll back and you're trying to sell a used car on the Armenian car lot, the guy gets it from 80 something to 30 something. You know, that's the way they do it. But it beyond 300. So now we're talking about brand new versus new.
I think so. And we'd have to get the details on the story. I don't have it in front of me. We just, as we were walking in, somebody sent in an email, and they're like, what's the deal with the Ferrari odometer thing? So I'm just going based off my recollection, but I'm sure that whatever the lawsuit is has the details on how much you can roll it back and when. And I thought I read a note that it had to be fairly new to begin with, or low miles.
Well, 300 miles and under, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I guess you could do it again and again and again after every 298 miles.
I guess. But so I guess most cars, or a lot of cars, I guess when you buy a new car, some of them have a few miles on them just because other people have driven them, right?
Yeah.
Or they drove them off the truck or something, like around the block and into the showroom or something.
Yeah. Also, don't you want to, you know, you want to know that the manufacturer put 5 miles on it, driving it from, you know, from one warehouse to another, just to know that it works.
Yeah.
Or put it on a dyno or a simulator of some sort.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know where the lawsuit is coming in that I bought a brand new Porsche and it had 200 miles on it versus 7 miles or no miles.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what the odometer says in the showroom. Like, I don't think it says zero, does it? Because you had to put the thing on rollers and do something, right?
Yeah, and I guess this person's point is there shouldn't be any rolling back the odometer ever.
Right. So this person's lawsuit, this person isn't saying, I got a Ferrari and I paid good money for this Ferrari and I was told in good faith that it had 10 miles on it, but in fact it had 200 miles on it, and that's hurting the value of the car. That's not really an argument. What this person is saying is there is such a tool that Ferrari has in their arsenal, and that will turn back the odometer, and that's a smoking gun. That's like an admission of guilt.
Yeah, that's how
The fact that this tool exists, I don't care whether you've used it or not, or whether you've used it on a car that I've purchased. You just have a tool that does this.
Yeah.
And if you have a tool that does this, then it's like a guy standing in your front yard with a flat bar in his hand, and you're like, you're going to break into this house. And he's going, oh, no, I'm just standing on the lawn holding the flat bar.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, now we got it. You're holding this tool. That means, well, the tool's not illegal. Like, yeah. The fact that you have it and you're standing here makes it illegal. So I guess, unless Max Pata can tell us more about it.
All I know is that they just use it to reset to zero for all the new cars.
So it needs a reset to zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's a funky for all thing.
So what they're saying is, I guess, like, so I'm Ferrari, right? And we get the car. It leaves Maranello. We put it on a roller dyno, whatever, and test the drivetrain and the blah, blah, blah. And then we take it out onto our test loop, and we do a few hot laps on it, make sure the brakes and everything, the temperature and like everything works. And then we ship it over to Newport Beach, California. And at that point, maybe I'm making this up, maybe I'm not, our customers don't want to look in the window and see 11 miles. They want to see zero. And we zero them out when they come into the Newport Beach Ferrari dealership. And it's because it is zero. Those are test miles, or those are break-in miles.
There's no,
and if someone's going to spend $300,000 on a car, they want to look and see zero, not look and see 14 miles. Who's driving this car? And the reality is the car is going through the break-in or the testing or the whatever. I mean, I'm sort of with Ferrari in that I could call that zero. Like, now these are the miles we do on the test track. These are the miles we do on the dyno or the whatever, or
right,
driving
or transportation
or whatever it is. When you buy your new car, it will say zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it says that the tool will not work after the odometer reaches 311 miles. So you'd have to just keep proceeding.
Right. So yeah.
So every car in the dealer has 312 miles for like, and the rest are zero. You know what happened?
Every new
car in there. Yeah. Oh, you missed it by a mile.
So yeah, Ferrari is saying, give us up to 300 miles to test, transport, dyno, whatever, this vehicle, and then we'll go to zero. And because it cannot be, we have this fail safe and that it'll go to 311, which means we can't use it for nefarious purposes.
That was the idea. And the lawsuit says you're using it for whatever you want because you don't have to tell us and whatever.
That's a bogus lawsuit.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that.
That's a douchebag lawsuit. Yeah. It's bogus. If you have something, when you were telling about this tool, and again, this is all info I could have used in the first few syllables, because what I thought they were doing is taking their trade-ins, Ferraris, in which case you got one with 85,000 miles and it's a trade-in, you know, 488, and you want to get it down to 34,000 miles. Well, the price of a used 488 Ferrari, just let's just say, or 599 or whatever, the difference between that car having 100,000 miles on it and that thing having 32,000 miles on it, that could be $50,000 easily.
Right. Yeah.
And so if you're doing this for a living, which is taking in trades on Ferraris and backing out, you know, 30,000-40,000 miles on the thing, that kind of move, well, that's big cash in your pocket.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And that's where these stories sort of stemmed from. People were understanding it as you can roll back miles to whatever. And then I think Ferrari clarified and said, oh, no, you can't. It's only 300 miles and less.
You're right, because Ferrari realized this would be a dangerous tool for our dealers to have if one of them wanted to go rogue. So we'll keep it to roll it to zero, but only under 311. Yeah. Okay.
It seems like it's already being argued in the public before it even goes to court, right? Like, people are arguing because somebody responded, like a Ferrari or a dealer or somebody responded and said, it's not, it's 300 miles.
This is a nothing burger now.
It is.
All right. Someone's got a Jeep. Somebody's looking for a daily driver. Likes the Tesla. Also likes the Audi A7. Miata spec class. Lots of questions up there. First, I'll tell you about hymns. That's right. 65% of men start losing their hair by age 35. What? For hymns.com. For hymns.com. One stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and more. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hymns connects you to real doctors and medical grade solutions to treat your hair loss. And you got to get going with it because once it's gone, it don't come back. And if it does, it ain't cheap. Ask Jeremy Piven. Generic equivalents of name brand prescriptions to keep your hair. No gas station countertop supplements here. Yeah. No waiting room or awkward doctor visits. My listeners, our listeners, they get a trial of 4 Hims for just $5 while supplies last. It would cost hundreds at the pharmacy. So go to 4hims.com/carcast. That's FORHIMS.com/carcast. Get the $5 free trial or the $5 trial first month and save some bucks. All right, let's see. I'm going to go with Anthony on line 3. Anthony?
How you doing, Ace?
Yeah, man. What's going on?
So, got a 2014 Ford Fusion right now and looking to get something a little bit nicer. Nothing wrong with the car I got now, but wife and I making a little bit more money, can kind of afford something nicer. And you always talk about, you know, the new is fine, but you can get a nice used car. You know, everything's new, everything works, everything's everything. And I'm debating between that A7 and the Tesla Model S. So I wasn't sure what your guys' opinions were on the vehicles. I know you have the Model S for Lynette.
Yeah, but used to have an A7.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Even better.
Had both, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the A7 a lot. The Tesla is a good car. It's a little Spartan inside. Like, it feels a little light inside. You're going to like the cabin. Now, both cars seem to be the same shape and the same size.
Correct.
The closest thing to a Tesla Model S is an A7.
Like, yeah, I would think so. But I would say part of your decision, though, is, for lack of a better term, the lifestyle change that you have to commit to, right? The charging and whatnot versus what you've been used to on your gas engine and whatnot. So you have to commit to charging it, and there's no, hey, I forgot to charge it, now what do I do? You have to remember to charge it when it needs to charge. There's no running down to the gas station, right? So, and I can't speak for that because I don't have one of those. And I know you drive daily the Jag, but has it come up during the whatever 3-year lease so far where Lynette's like, yeah, nobody plugged the car in, and now I'm jammed up with no transportation?
Maybe a few occasions early on.
Or more likely, she would say, I have to go 50 miles and I've got 34 miles on my battery.
There were a few incidents where she went to like the California Pizza Kitchen in like Studio City, and it's like round trip from her house, like 18 miles, and she left with like 20 on the range and then ran out of fuel on the 2 and then got mad at Elon Musk for something he did wrong.
Right. You said 20.
I was like,
meanwhile, the Valley Parker did 9 laps to the parking garage.
Yeah, no, it was 8. It was like 17 miles each way. So,
oh, there you go.
You weren't going to make it. You were never going to make it. The car did exactly what the car said it was going to do.
Right,
it got it got you to the restaurant and got you about a third of the way home, and then it stopped. So we did have a couple initial discussions on why you probably shouldn't be angry at the car. but if we plugged it in the night before, we probably could have solved this.
Is this going to be a second car for you? Are you going to keep the Fusion or something? Or are you going to have one electric?
I mean, my wife has a Ford Explorer, so we have a gas car, and that's, you know, kind of our, we got the 2 kids and throw all your stuff in there and get going. And I live 10 miles from my office.
Go ahead. Listen, but that was early on.
Yeah.
And since then, she's gotten into a rhythm, and or Sonny does it, can plug it in as well. But she got into a rhythm with it, and we got the fast charger mounted on the wall in the garage. And she's in a rhythm, and it has not been a problem. Like, she's comes home, plugs it in, pretty much.
Yeah, that's it.
Takes care of it.
You know, you burn your hand on the stove once, you know not to touch the stove.
And Yeah, a couple of times. But either way, I'm a one burn guy.
Yeah.
The ladies I found were multiple burns. But either way, eventually they don't get near the stove. And she doesn't get near that stove.
Good.
Not at all. She's learned a valuable lesson.
Not with
the
Uber
stove.
Eats.
Not with Uber Eats. So the A7 is a really nice car. And it drives really nice. And the interior is really nice. God, we're looking at the cars. They're like the same car.
But
right?
The profile side by side look really close.
They're really close. Look, I can't say enough about plugging a car in and never having to stop at the gas station ever again. That's very cool. I think you're going to like the interior of the A7 and the way it drives a little bit more than you're going to like the Tesla. It's really just a question for you, which is like, how big a deal is this plug-in battery business? How important is that to you, your life, and whatever? If you said to me, hey, we're just going to take one car and we're going to drive it to Vegas, what car do you want to drive? I'm going with the Audi because it's just a better driving, nicer interior. Blah, blah, blah. But if you said, what car do you want to drive for a year and we'll give you a fast charger in your garage, I might say I'll take the Tesla. So it's pretty much a coin toss.
They're both good. I like them both.
Hey, I'm coming to Madison, Wisconsin. How far are you from Madison?
About 50 miles. I got to play it by ear because the wife's due any day now. So I got to see, what my availability is to go check you out. I saw you in Chicago a couple years ago.
Well, she doesn't have to go.
It was a good time.
Oh, good. Yeah, you got to prioritize, too, Anthony.
I'll bring the three-year-old with me. It'll be a good time.
Thank you. All right. So they're both the same. They're the same car. I've just sort of pictured them both in my mind. But as Chris puts the cars up on the screen, you really do see they are the same. The platform is the same.
Yeah. By the way, can we talk about when I see the A7. Can we talk about car terminology for 1 second? The four-door coupe is stupid. It's a sedan. Sedan is four doors. Coupe is two doors. So don't do this Mercedes, BMW, Audi guys, like this four-door coupe thing. And now I think BMW has like an SUV. It's like an X4 coupe. It's got four doors.
Sedan. It's a sedan. Like they do the same with the
you could have come up with something else. We have crossover, we have
BMW
SUV.
BMW has an 8 or a 6 or something that's like a four-door coupe now, whatever. I get it. They're swoopy and they look good and you can barely see the rear door and everything, but still.
I get it. You sit lower down. It's got kind of sports car-ish feel. So why not do like sports sedan or something? Why coupe?
Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
I think Max Zapata, I think the I'm gonna think of the band. Who sung "Bad to the Bone"?
Thorogood?
George Thorogood. George Thorogood had a trio, and I think he called it like a quartet or something. And what he was basically saying is we are three guys, but we sound like five guys or something,
right?
Some version of your coupe, whatever.
Right.
Terminology.
Yeah.
And I agree.
His is funny. I like that. His has some sense of humor to it.
Yeah, this is false advertising.
This doesn't make any sense. Like of all the wacky marketing terms that these companies come up with all the time, they couldn't come up with.
Yeah,
some
I
sort
agree.
Of sports sedan, something or other.
Rich, 57, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got a 2012 Jeep.
Hey, Ace, how you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Good. Say hi to Matt as well.
Hello.
What's up, Matt? What's going on? Good to see you.
85.
Long time, second time.
Thank you. 2012 Jeep what?
It's a 2012 Jeep Patriot. I've had it for about 6 years.
Ouch.
And it's got currently 85,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
And I've had transmission problems since I've owned it, which is 3,000 miles, essentially the first owner.
Right.
So I've taken it back a total of six times. And each time of course, the dealer would say, nothing wrong with it. So the last time I took it back, it's now 6 months out of warranty. They're telling me that I need a new transmission. Mm-hmm. And the manufacturer has really turned their back on me, Chrysler being that.
Which is surprising because this isn't the first time we've heard this story. Like, I think my dad had a Dodge something or other and the transmission had issues, and we've had other calls with people with transmission issues. So you would think that this is very unfortunate, but you would think that, you know, Fiat Chrysler of America, the Dodge and Jeep brands would have some sort of...
They'd be used to this?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
some
answer,
some protocol.
Right?
So, yeah,
some answer other than, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, if this is Mercedes-Benz, you can see them being surprised. But Jeep and Chrysler, this should be just every day they have to recall something or fix something.
Yeah, once you get into their system, the first person I spoke to, the first contact I made at FCA, Fiat Chrysler Assembly, as you said, said, hey, no problem. You're well within the guidelines. In fact, normally we allow them to go over 24,000 miles and 2 years over the time and 24,000 over the mileage. I'm well within the mileage, 6 months over the time. So somebody even told me they were going to take care of me because they definitely offered assistance.
I have further a plan. Gary's Jeep needed a new transmission after 15. When did you have a Jeep? Before your BMW?
Yeah, the Jeep. Remember, you used to make fun about it, put rims on it and stuff. It was when I was 16.
Oh, that thing.
Try to wipe it from our minds.
Yeah, it was gross.
Yeah,
I became an adult.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah, that's right. I used to make fun of you with rims. With Jeeps, rims on Jeeps. All right, so here's the thing. Rich.
Hang on a second, Adam. I've got to make sure. Maybe the only saving grace I have is for your new TV show, it's not out yet, To Catch a Manufacturer. Okay, I'm done. Go ahead.
After the Chrysler Corporation. All right, here's what I'm going to say, Rich. I don't know a whole lot about this subject, but I'll bet you there's a lot of consumer advocacy lawyers and groups and things like that who can guide you through this. And I will bet you, and I don't say that it's free, but I bet you there's somebody you can find online and you go, here's what I went through with this company and this product. And then they will go, I have done this before. Here's what you need to do. You need to gather up whatever paperwork you have. You need to send me a screenshot of it or whatever. Let me look at it. I will then tell you that you need to fill out this form and contact this group. And whatever it is, there's somebody's been through this a lot, and there's some attorney guy who just does this and charge you. Like those guys who get you out of speeding tickets.
Yeah.
But you have to pay him $170, but they'll get you out of the ticket. Like that guy for this.
I agree with that. But in the meantime, since you have to drive, I can almost guarantee that there's tons of discussion about this on forums, and there may be a simpler fix or something a little cheaper once you're armed with the knowledge of what's going on with the transmission. And then there's that step of maybe going to the dealer and going, hey, I've been screwed 6 times on this thing. You're not covering it under warranty. How much are you going to give me for this thing on a trade or something and just get rid of it?
Yeah, the problem...
You're going to get a new Jeep.
Because
they're not going to...
And my experience is... When something like keeps failing, once it fails for the third time, it'll fail for the 33rd time. Like it just
Well, that's what I'm saying. Let's get away from owning this car for longer than you need to.
I was just having a discussion with Kelly from the other shop or at the other shop, but he's got it. He's a little perturbed over his Mini Cooper deal because his payments, and then there's a balloon payment, and it's like it's one of those things. It's always the same thing, which is like you buy a brand new car, you work out the payments for 6 years, and then the car stickers for $23,000, and at the end of your relationship with the dealership, you paid $44,000 for a car that's now worth $11,000 or maybe $9,000 at the end of the thing. And nobody likes that, those odds, or nobody likes the way that plays out. But that's why the dealer offers you that.
Yeah.
Like that's the dealer knows what the dealer's doing, and that's how they roll. And I don't know what the exact numbers are, but I can tell you, like, you buy a new car, it's 23 grand, you spread it out over 6 years, you put down $4,000 or whatever it is, your payments are $450 a month, and then there's a balloon payment of like $8,000 at the end of the,
yeah,
the whatever.
Yeah.
And he was saying to me, what the hell's a balloon payment? And I was saying, well, how much was the car? And he's like, I said, how many payments do you have left? And he's like, 29 months or something like that. And I said, and what are you paying per month? And he said, $450 a month. And I said, okay, what do you owe on the car? And he's like, $22,000. And I said, the balloon payment gets you, if you're paying $500 a month and you're doing it for 30 months, we're not at $22,000. We're at $15,000 or whatever the math is. Wait, right. $15,000, right? So the difference between $15,000 and $23,000, what you owe, that's the balloon. That's they put it at the end.
Yeah.
So your payments can be lower, yeah, but they still got to be made whole. They got to get to this. How could you pay, you know, whatever it is, a house or a pizza, if I pay you $1 a month and for a year, but the pizza's $20, but at the end of the year, we just got to $12, then there's a balloon payment of $8 at the end of the year. And he's like, I don't get it. It's like,
well, part of the problem is he doesn't get it now, but he should have not got it when he bought the car, right? Like, it's a little too late to not get it. You know,
right.
Like, he's probably, what, 2 years or a year or whatever.
He's several years in and he doesn't like the deal. And so my thing was like, but you tell me, because I'm always thinking of like you. I said, I don't like it. So now you get the end of the deal. You got this car that's stickered for 23 or something. You're at the end of the deal. The car's worth $11,000. You have a balloon payment of $8,000. It's already not worth anything.
Yeah.
And you've already paid $40,000 in or whatever it is, $30,000. I'm not sure exactly how that works.
Yeah.
But I said, you tell me, I was thinking of you. I was like, you could go in there with somebody like you,
mm-hmm,
and you could go, here's the car, here's the deal, here's where we're at. I'm not excited about the way this is working out. I'd like to get into another vehicle. I'd like to get into another vehicle somewhere on this lot, and I'd like you to help me be a satisfied customer,
yeah,
by trading this thing and doing some stuff that got me into something else that changed our arrangement a little without, you know, you throwing a sack of money in the ocean,
right,
and kept me as a customer. I and then maybe we could restructure something.
Yeah. Because when he gets, look, if he waits this out and trades it or even trades it for another brand, he could potentially be rolling in negative equity into his next car.
Right.
You know, you're like, hey, you owe $12,000, your car's worth $10,000, so now you're negative $2,000. So on the new car you're gonna buy, you're already in the hole $2,000. You already,
right,
owe us that. We're gonna pay it off for you, but you got negative equity on that car.
Well, hence
you definitely want to avoid that.
Buy cars that are 2 years old. Number one.
Yeah, you know, I was at the gym. A guy rolled up in a nice new 3 Series BMW, and I was like, hey, this is nice. This is new because I haven't seen you drive it before. And he's like, yeah, it's a lease back. Somebody leased it and for 3 years and put, you know, 25,000 miles on it. I went and I bought it for, you know, 15,000, whatever under sticker was, with a few miles on it. And it's certified pre-owned. Now it's got a 100,000-mile warranty. And you know, it's got all the features, you know, the service and maintenance that BMW offers.
Right.
And he goes, and I just saved a whole bunch of money.
There you go. And hopefully when he got it, he changed the oil. to Castrol Edge. Designed for consumers who demand the best performance from their cars. Tech advances made engines smaller, more powerful. We always talk about this. They produce a lot of pressure these days. The only thing stopping metal-to-metal contact is a very thin layer of oil. So the oil needs to be strong, obviously. Castrol Edge. It's formulated with fluid titanium technology, 3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown than the leading full synthetic. All right, so I got a spec Miata question down here, which I like. Jim, 47, Idaho.
Hey, Ace and Stromer, great show, man. My son and I love listening to CarCast together. It's just a great deal.
That's DeAndrea.
Yeah,
Stromer
is great,
too.
But he does a different show.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, man. I messed it up.
Sorry, Jim.
It's all right.
Go ahead.
Sorry, DeAndrea. Hey, I wanted to help that Jeep owner out real quick, a Jeep Patriot. First of all, you never buy a Patriot unless you're totally broke or gay. So get that thing fixed and then get it traded off, like Matt said. You know, get it gone because it's sort of a worthless thing to have. It's like buying a Harley Sportster when you really should have just bought a real Harley. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, I literally see those Jeeps on the freeway, and I call people and just yell why into the
That's
phone
true.
As loud as
I can.
I
can attest to that.
I want to know why. I want to know what's going
like,
on.
Hello, Adam? Why? Oh, there's a Jeep Patriot in front of you? Yes.
Yep. That's how I roll.
Yeah, they're not even a Jeep. The JKs are a blast. I promise you, Adam, if you got a four-door JK for the family and rolled around,
I get it. There's a guy.
As long as you don't call it a Jeep coupe.
There's a guy in my neighborhood who has one.
No,
he's got the doors off. He's like got the boom box in the back, and he throws the kids in there, and they love it.
I'm sure they do. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we dig it. We'll go out as a family in that thing and go out for ice cream at night, go cruising in the hills, do all kinds of fun stuff, and it's almost like you're in a UTV. You know, but it's totally street legal and you can go anywhere.
I concur.
I get it. Like, if you're going to get a Jeep, get a real Jeep.
That's what I'm saying. Get that Jeep.
Yeah.
All right, but go ahead.
All right, what's your question?
Well, hey, so Junior 16, he is a car nut just exactly like you. And he has a grandpa said, hey, he's got a real nice little car already. But grandpa said, let's get you something that we can make a project vehicle. So we went out and bought a 91 Miata, and they're stripping it down. And I said, you know what? Let's give Ace a call and see what he thinks about going, taking that thing out to track days, doing some spec stuff. And I just wanted to pick your brain and see what you thought.
All right. Well, he's already got his 91 Miata, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we're
just trying to figure what way to go.
And how far down does he have it stripped?
We're gonna take it down, take the engine out. It's gonna get stripped, and it's gonna get wheels, suspension, tires, you name it. It's gonna get it.
And you're trying to ask, like, do we turn this into a fun street car for the kid, or do we try to build like a little race car? You know, and maybe go down that route. So, and I know Adam's gonna have thoughts on it, but I would say first start here. Go to a school and see how y'all like it. Go to like a Bondurant school or something. Do the half day course or the 1 day course, and see what your son thinks. Is he like, you know what? The high performance driving school was cool. The skid pad card with the training wheels, it was cool. But the track blew my mind. Dad, let's build a little race car. Or he's gonna say,
okay.
He's gonna say, I loved what we did in the high-performance driving section, let's build a cool little street car. But also, be a better driver, and it's a fun, like, I wish my dad was like, hey, you're 16 now, we're going to build a car, let's go do a day at the Bondurant school together first. I'd be like, you're a cool dad.
Like my dad. He came home.
Yeah, just like Adam's dad did. That's exactly right. What motor should he put in it?
Yeah, right?
Oh, my dad? He got a 510 wagon, believe it or not, and put a 302, I think it was a small block Ford, yeah, in there.
None of this happened.
And
none of this happened.
Now, he had to fab up the whole new bell housing, because he said, like, we're going to use the 5-speed Datsun bell
tunnel,
housing.
New.
So he had to modify the tunnel. Yeah. Had to put a new. He made the cross member.
Of course.
And because he insisted on it, and but he did break down and buy the kit so that we get the 302 onto the 5-speed,
yeah,
which was, I think, from a Z car, and then he had to custom make a drive shaft, obviously. Oh, yeah. Actually, he had that made as well. He had a friend who worked at a machine shop. So Bill Hyde,
I know your dad. San Fernando Valley. I know your dad can't even handle a lease car.
I don't think I don't know that my dad has ever. I don't think that my dad has ever lifted a car hood with the intent of doing anything. Like, he may have lifted a car hood when steam was pouring out, or to see if a cat got, like, caught up in there or something. Yeah. But he's never, like, lifted a car hood and had a wrench in his hand, or with any expectation of even knowing where the dipstick was. Like, I do not know. The number that you would give to my dad on a 0 to 10, 10 being, you know, Jay Leno or Bruce Meyer, you would give him a 0, or you would give him like a 0.3 or something, and it'd be like, well, 0's a dead person. And I'd go, well, that's a tie. And he'd go, yeah, but you got to give him like a 0.3 for, like, nodding if you said something about a car, you know, like a dead person couldn't do that. But yeah, to give him a 1 would be to way overestimate his interest / abilities. Like, a 1 out of 10 would be far too generous. Would insanely do that. I didn't know guys like my dad existed. Like, I just thought, well, guys like cars. Some guys love cars. Other guys just like cars. Or some guy, everyone wants a new Corvette. Like, who wouldn't want a new car?
Yeah.
I had no idea that there were human beings.
He almost hates cars.
Like, heterosexual males. So just somewhere between 0 and dislike.
Actually, hating cars would give too much thought into cars.
Yeah, it'd be like after my dad died in that stock car accident, you know, and I saw him bleed out on the track.
Yeah.
I swore I'd never. Like, I'd ride a horse for the rest of my life. Yeah, that would be something.
Yeah,
that'd be a story.
That would still give thought to.
All right, so Jim, here's what I would say to you. I would
Can I say one thing?
Yes.
I think your dad was like the original hipster minimalist, because the stories you tell about how little he wanted to do and how little he had and how little concern he had, I don't know how you made it through life. I always look at you as an inspiration for if there's a struggle and there's a way to get through it, Adam can tell you.
Well, thank you.
The first
thing I did was I had the same relationship. Did you ever see Scarface?
Yeah.
All right. Remember at the beginning, he was like in Miami and they were like in that makeshift internment camp where it's like all those tents and chain link fence and other refugees and gangsters and stuff. Like, I had the same relationship with my parents that Al Pacino had with the family that lived in the tent next to his, which is like, I don't know. These guys, I think they got it worse than I do.
Yeah.
And they're certainly not coming over with a big pot of stew every night or anything. Like, I can't go to that tent and go, hey, I need a new car. Like, they just go like, who are you? Like, we're eating dirt. Like, so whatever that relationship was, I looked at these two, my dad and my mom, and I went, these guys are good for nothing. Like, and I knew when I was 10, I was like, they're good for nothing. I'm not getting half a mini bike out of two of these people. So screw it. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And I just went full Scarface. I just went, I'm going over to this other guy's tent. I'm going to eat over there. Then I'm going over here and I'm going to see this guy.
But you didn't stab him 9 times.
I should have, but I was too tired. I was too malnourished.
Too much effort into the thought.
too much effort.
Right.
So I just figured out, well, whatever it is you're going to do, you'll just do it for yourself.
Yeah.
And then it served me well later on, because then I've hung around with people in life whose moms and dads did too much, and they sit around going like, when is somebody going to do something for me? And the answer is, well, now that you're an adult, never. And I never have that modality.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't good at the beginning, but it served me now. But thank you for the compliment, Jim. So
you seriously performed a miracle. In the world of life, you have literally, with the cards you were dealt, you have performed a miracle. And so be proud of yourself. But what motor do we put in this thing, by the way?
Well,
turbocharge a stock one?
If you're trying to do some spec class, then there's a bunch of rules. You may be using the spec word sort of generically, but here's my feeling on a Miata spec race car. If you wanted to enter that series or do some of those events, I would just buy someone else's Miata spec car, because that thing is all stitch welded and caged up and has all the supports and gussets and brackets and all that shit that just takes forever.
Yeah, and get the rule book.
And get the rule book and all that stuff. But that's not what you're talking about. I think so. Right. If I'm going full spec, I'm buying just an old spec car for $3,200, rebuilding the engine, going out racing. Let someone else do all the fab and welding and everything.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm you, I like that Miata motor. Is it a twin cam 1600 or a single cam 16? Or two
twin,
liter.
Twin 16.
So yeah. What?
And then
twin
the
16.
Older ones are a 1.6, and then it went to a 1.8, and now I think the new ones are a 2 liter.
I like punching the thing out to 2 liters. I mean, I like that extra displacement helps a lot. So I like the moving up to the 2 liter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the turbo on the 2 liter or the supercharger, whatever, the enhanced, whatever. I don't know. There's also a version where you do the 2 liter and you do the side draft Webers or McCoonies or whatever. And I got a 2 liter with over 250 horsepower. I mean, you can do it if you build it, although that's running on race fuel and that's really a little too beaked up for the street. But yeah, I think you can get a 2 liter with a comfortable 200 horsepower that make a nice, fun car. I think you put in a roll bar and I like the Miata power plant. I wouldn't like do a swap with a V8 or anything in it.
And there's going to be tons of parts available.
Tons and tons.
Yeah.
And so you just see what your budget, how far your budget will carry you. But yeah, you get the coilovers and the brake upgrade, and you do some autocrossing in it, and you make it cool and fun.
And I'm fine with doing it in steps, like you said. Like, hey, start with some mild suspension, wheels, tires, and like you said, hit the autocross for a little bit. Behind the wheel, see how y'all like it, and then step up to the next one or the next thing or the next thing.
Have fun picking out the colors and, put a couple of buckets, like race buckets in there, but nothing too extreme so we can drive it around town and
yeah.
All that stuff.
What do we do there? Because I know some of the buckets I've sat in before that they're so uncomfortable to get in and out. But for a daily drive, or not a daily, but for playing with it a couple days a week, what would you put in for a seat that's good on the track too?
That for me, that's a tough one because I don't know what fits well in the Miata. Like there could be restrictions on sort of what fits in there. But I'm going to tell you that there's going to be a ton of guys have done this. Right?
Like, yeah.
Once you start hitting the forums and start calling some of the Miata catalog guys, they're going to know.
Yeah, the Miata is the, I don't know, Mustang of Japanese cars.
Yeah, it's so
like,
modern.
There's going to be so many, like...
And so much support. Like, people are going to have advice.
Yeah, the lament of monkeying around with the kind of cars I monkey around with is... we need some spark plug wires for your 935. Like, oh, they don't make them. Like, oh, we need some spark plugs for your 935. Like, oh, they're $107 each and you can't find them. Look, when you go with something that's ubiquitous, here's the downside. The downside is you pull up in a Miata and no one gives a shit. That's the bad side. The good side is you can go online and buy every single part that bolts onto that car, and it's as cheap as the material it's made out of, and that's about it.
Yeah.
You want a steering wheel for a Lamborghini 400 2+2, you can search the internet for the next 10 years and never find a steering wheel.
Right.
Like you have to make a steering wheel. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what Jim needs, though. He needs Geico.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You know, you're dropping off your dry cleaning. You're picking up some milk. You're building a Miata spec car. Well, you can add, save hundreds of dollars of car insurance to that list. And you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you need some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out Geico.com.
All right. Geico. Yeah, live shows everywhere. Just go to AdamCarolla.com. Got the podcasting masterclass. Go to CarollaClass.com. Seattle Cruise Rooms just added. That's going to be good. And we're playing Seattle at the Moore Theater. We're doing a live podcast there. That's September 13th. Support the show. Hit the website, CarCastShow.com. And Matt, the moderator, man, shift and steer. You can listen on Podcast One. Matt, what do we got?
Yeah, in our new second weekly CarCast episode with myself and Goldberg. First episode's up. Next episode is Wednesday.
Both episodes are up.
Oh, they're all,
every Wednesday.
Two episodes every Wednesday.
Love some Goldberg. So, till next time, Adam Kroll for Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheels.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.